All right, we are in a series of messages for Advent and Christmas where we are imagining that we are in God's living room with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on Christmas Day exchanging gifts. It is a very different Christmas, which is the title of our series. The series is being guided by, given its framework by a book by that same title. That's the cover of the book right there you see before you. We ran out of books on the very first Sunday. I quickly ordered more. They showed up this week. So if you did not get a copy of the book and you'd like one, you can pick it up in the back. It's a short little book. You can easily catch up to where we are this week. Or as I said when I introduced the whole thing, read the book and then give it away to somebody who doesn't know Christ. Invite them to church maybe, but invite them to read the book. I think they would be blessed by it. So anyway, so more available at the Information Center out in the lobby. So in the first week, we looked at the Father's gift, and it's a gift to us. Steve, I feel just a little, I don't know if it's loud or echoey or something. Oh, there's something you can do. Thank you. Maybe. Oh, can you all still hear me? Is that not too quiet now? Okay. So in the first week, we looked at the Father's gift, and it is a gift to us. His gift is a baby. Jesus. A baby is not necessarily the gift that any of us would be looking for at Christmas, but that's the gift that God gives to us. And in this gift, we have clarity about who God is. We see God's character, his love, his truth, his justice, his compassion, and more. Not just in Jesus as a baby, but most perhaps specifically throughout Jesus' life. Last week, we looked at Jesus' gift, which is for his heavenly Father. It is the gift of righteousness. It's a life that he lives, that is rightly lived according to God's will, and how God made us to live as well. We don't live perfectly that way. We fall short of God's righteousness. But Jesus did live into it perfectly. And that's the gift that he offers. This gift of righteousness that Jesus offers to his heavenly Father. So now in this heavenly living room, as we sit by the Trinity's Christmas tree, it is our turn to give a gift. What could you possibly give to the God of the universe? What could you give to God? God's got everything, right? What could he possibly need that you and I would have? I don't know about you, but I struggle to give gifts to many people in my life, particularly the grown-ups, the people who do have basically everything. They have what they need. Like, kids are easy. You know, toys, cash, Amazon gift card, whatever. There's always something that they, you know, could use in their life that they would appreciate and enjoy having. But what do you give to, you know, your grown siblings, your parents, your spouse, whoever, you know, those kind of people, your grown kids, if your kids are grown up? I was on the phone the other day with my mom, and she asked me what I would want. She says, look, Brian, you've got most everything you need. What could your dad and I get you for Christmas? And I said, well, you're right. There isn't a whole lot, really, when I think about it. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I'm desiring. And the things that I do want probably aren't in your budget. So she said, well, like, what are you thinking of? And I said, well, we could use a new car. Our minivan, both, and I told this to her, I think she knew this already, but I just remind her, both sliding doors on our minivan do not work. We have invented a whole new category of car. It's a two-door sports van. And so I remember there was a car commercial a number of years ago that was a small car, like a subcompact, and it was boasting how much you could fit in it. And like in the commercial, like 18 people get out of this car. That's like us, right? So I said, you know, you could get us a car. I said, well, I'm not sure that is in the budget. So the conversation ended very quickly. Right. So there you go. So, you know, it's tough giving gifts for people who really kind of have most everything. It's not that there aren't some things maybe along the way, but gosh, there's a lot that we all have, right? And it's tough to get those people gifts sometimes. So what do you give God? I mean, he has fewer needs than you or I do, or anyone in America, anyone in the world has. The good news here is that there is one thing that we can give. There's one thing that he would like, in fact. And it's closely related to the gift of righteousness that Jesus gives that we looked at last week. Now, I want us to read Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. This is our passage today, and here we find out what the gift is that we can give to our Heavenly Father. This is God's word to you and me today. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. That's in Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. To which the law and the prophets testify. That's where we find out about what God's righteousness is all about. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. That's the context in which they live, in which Paul's writing this. But they're having some debates about that a little bit. And he's saying there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So God, help us to understand this passage today. Help us to understand this gift, Lord, that we can give to you, that we can bring to you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to give that gift this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. So the gift that we give is the gift of faith. Specifically, it is faith in Jesus. This is a gift that you and I can place under the Trinity's Christmas tree and give to our Heavenly Father. And it is a gift that he actually appreciates and values. Imagine this. You do have something that he likes and wants and desires, something that you can give to God. You know, there will undoubtedly be a gift or two that you give this Christmas to somebody, or that you get this Christmas, that leaves you scratching your head and wondering, what on earth do I do with this? Why did I just get this gift? You've probably given those kinds of gifts as well, so let's not get too, haughty about all this, all right? You have given gifts to people where they put on a nice smile and said, thank you. And then it sat on the shelf, and it collected dust or became a white elephant gift at next year's office Christmas party, right? We have all gotten and given those kinds of gifts that just don't make sense or weren't useful or weren't appreciated. But this gift of faith is one that God values and appreciates. And the added bonus is that it benefits you as well. So as we saw last week, God created humanity, including us, created in his image. We are image bearers of God. And God designed us to live up to the high calling and the high standard that image bearing entails. But we fall miserably short. We see that in verse 23 of today's passage. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the language of the Bible elsewhere and last week's gift of Jesus to his Father, we can say that we don't live with righteousness. We fall short of the righteousness of God. We don't live rightly by his standards for truth, love, grace, anything else. Jesus, however, lives up to that standard. That's what we looked at last week. Jesus lived a 100% righteous life, living according to God's will and ways and perfectly reflecting the image of God into the world. And the gift that we then give is faith. Faith in Jesus and his righteousness. It's not just faith in general or faith in anything or in everything. It's not faith in just anybody. Faith in the Seahawks does not count. We all know faith in the Mariners hasn't counted for 18 years. Faith in your family members doesn't count, as nice and lovely as they probably are. Faith in your friends doesn't count. Faith in your paycheck doesn't count. And it's not that these things are bad. They're fine and good. But they don't make us righteous. It is faith in Jesus that counts when it comes to righteousness. And God values righteousness. So the reason it matters where our faith is placed is explained in these verses we just read in addition to a number of other places in the New Testament, including Jesus talks about these kinds of things as well. We can summarize these verses like this. The verses that we just read, we can summarize them just like this. We are not righteous. Jesus is righteous. And when we have faith in Jesus and his righteousness, God sees us as righteous just like Jesus. Our Heavenly Father no longer sees us as falling short of his glory, as verse 23 says, but sees us as righteous, as verse 22 says, and most of the rest of that passage does as well. Verse 22 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And that righteousness pleases our Heavenly Father. It brings him great joy, what we're celebrating today even. We recognize on this third Sunday in Advent, it brings him joy. So Jesus' righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith in him. So a couple of thoughts about this gift that we bring. First, there may be some of us, either here this morning or certainly we know people, who wonder or question about this all this righteousness stuff. Does it matter? Why does it matter whether we live how God wants us to, and in a way that radiates his image, his character, his heart, his truth, his grace, and so forth? Some of us might say that really to us, in fact, it doesn't matter. And the fact is, to a lot of the world, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. Many people wake up every single day and don't give a rip about living righteously, living in a way that reflects the image of God into the world. But it does matter to God. And for that reason, it ought to matter to us. In this book that we're reading throughout this series, Rico Tice is the author, and he puts it really well at the end of last week's chapter, actually, when he writes these words. He writes, "We are all made in God's image to relate to him and reflect his character, to live a completely righteous life. Instinctively, you may hear that and say, look, I just don't really care about this righteousness. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't matter that much to me." To that, now this is the author, Rico, writing his voice coming out now. To that, I want to gently say, but it matters to God. If I lived in your house as a tenant, what you cared about as my landlord would matter. If I lived in your house as a tenant, what you cared about as my landlord would matter. And as you live in God's world, what he cares about matters. People may not care about righteousness, but God the Father does. In other words, what matters to God ought to matter to us. And righteousness matters. Living a godly life matters. Reflecting the character of God matters. Or maybe we do recognize that righteousness matters, or something matters. We may not use that word. We might not call it that, but we might say that we should live decent or kind or good lives. We think those kinds of things matter. You know, doing things like recycling, helping little old ladies cross the street, using good grammar and punctuation in our Christmas letters. Don't you dare address your letters to, like, I don't know, say the Smiths, just for example, and put apostrophe S. Okay? That's ownership. Plural is just the S. You can look it up online if you don't trust me. Okay? Just free tip for you today to have good punctuation in your Christmas letters that you send out. Not that any of you would use bad punctuation or grammar, of course, because you're good and decent people, right? We're good and decent people. We're kind. Go to the next slide, Tim. I think that's up there. We are good and decent people. That's how we tend to see ourselves. But how decent do we need to be in order to stand in the presence of the righteous, holy creator of the universe? I think if we're honest with ourselves, no matter how decent we think we are, or even actually are, I mean, we are probably, by and large, most of us are fairly decent human beings by human standards. No matter how decent we may be or think we are, there is still a lot of indecent stuff in our lives. Would you like to have every nook and cranny of your life videoed and shown on a screen for your mother, your spouse, your kids, your church family, or God to see? Would you like that to be seen? All of your thoughts, from your lusts to your hatreds, all of your angry moments when you blew your top, everything you've ever looked at online, every word you've said, every motive that you have had for what you have done? Would you like all of that to be aired for anyone to see? Are you so decent that you would? Probably not. Decent and good are cover-ups for all the unrighteous, unholy, unfriendly, unloving things that we have done, said, and thought throughout our lives. Given that righteousness matters to God, given that we are far from righteous, as decent as we might want to think that we are, and given that Jesus lived the perfectly righteous life, not just decent, in a, hey, let's kind of gloss over things kind of way, completely righteous, given all that, living by faith in Jesus is the gift that we have to offer. And it blesses us as well. So really, the question then becomes, what does it look like to give the gift of faith in Jesus? What does it look like to place our faith, to say that we have faith in Jesus? Well, it begins with acknowledging our own lack of righteousness and expressing our desire to believe in Jesus and in His righteousness. As verse 22 says this morning, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Believing is the first and crucial step. When you believe, Jesus' righteousness is yours. That is how God sees you. And believing that to be true is the beginning. That's where it starts. But faith, the gift that we give, entails a little bit more. Faith, I would suggest to you, is belief put into action. There was once a nun who worked for a local home health care agency. So she was out making her rounds visiting some of the people that she visited regularly and making her rounds, and she ran out of gas as she was driving. Fortunately, just three or four blocks away down the street was a gas station. So she walked down to the gas station to see if she could borrow a can, fill it up with like a gallon of gas, put in her car, and then drive back to the gas station to return the can and fill up the car the rest of the way. Well, the gas station attendant had to let her know that unfortunately the only gas can they had had been loaned out for someone for the same reason. He expected it to be returned, fairly soon, but didn't know exactly when that would happen. Well, since the nun was on the way to see a patient and she wanted to really kind of get things moving, she decided not to wait. She walked back to the car to see if she might have something that she could use. So she looked through her car for something to take back to the gas station and fill up, and she remembered she had a bedpan that was there. And so she carried that to the station, put some gasoline in it, and then carried it back to her car. And as she was pouring the gas very carefully out of this bedpan into the car, two guys walked by, and one of them turned to the other and he said, "Now that is what I call faith." See, faith is a belief, is a head thing, it's a heart thing. It's a conviction about something. Faith, however, is taking that and putting it into action. It's doing something with it. It's kind of like the difference between a person who believes the parachute will work. You can say that. I believe it will open. Do you have the faith to actually strap it on and jump out of the plane? That's faith. Faith takes things a step further and actually experiences the fruits and the benefits of belief. So what does it look like to put our belief in Jesus into action and actually live by faith? How do we give that gift? And there are a whole host of ways we can do this. We cannot even begin to cover them in the last 30 minutes or so of this sermon. But let me pick That was a little funnier than you gave it credit for, I think. But let me pick on a couple facets of life where we can give the gift of faith and seek to live with righteousness, knowing that even when we fall short, God will see us that way. God will view us through the cross of Christ as having Jesus' righteousness. So there's two areas of life I want to pick on because I think they're two of the hardest ones for us to give this gift of faith in these areas, okay? So one is giving the gift of faith in regards to our time. Time is kind of interesting because it's one commodity that we can't do anything to get any more of. You cannot change the amount of time in a day, a week, a month, a year. You don't know how much time you're going to get in your life. You can certainly eat healthy and exercise and that kind of stuff to extend it. But really, in the grand scheme of things, you don't have a lot of impact on that. You have a finite amount of time. And there's not a whole lot you can do, really nothing, to change that. So we better use it wisely, right? Why waste time? And that's not to say we don't need downtime and relaxing and just silly, goofy stuff. That's fine. But we want to use the time we have wisely. And there are a lot of ways we can use the time we have as a gift of faith, as an expression of what we believe about Jesus. Like in our families, in our neighborhoods, in different organizations we might be a part of, and so forth. In regards to our life together as a church, in regards to our life together here at the church, it is a step of faith to commit time to a church. Right? I mean, you're investing something, this precious commodity that you have that you can't get any more of. When you invest in the life of the church, you're saying no to anything else you could do. And you're saying, I want to give this gift, my time, to the church. And it starts the very first time a person, say, comes to worship on a Sunday. That is a step of faith that the service will be a blessing, that you'll be able to engage in worship in a meaningful way, that God will meet you in that service in some way, shape, or form, in some part of it, if not maybe in the entire thing in some way, that people will engage with you and not leave you to stand like a wallflower during the worship or during the fellowship time after worship. You know, in the lobby while everyone else who knows each other, they're enjoying coffee and conversation together. Just taking the time to come to church the very first time is a huge step of faith. For those of us who have been here for many years, we need to recognize that and meet people in their place of faith. Maybe you can remember the first time you set foot in the door of this church. And particularly if you just happen to come out of the blue on your own, not with anybody who was already here. It probably felt like a bit of a step of faith, some fear and trepidation maybe even. What's on the other side of those doors when I walk in? What is going to happen? It's a step of faith. So we can remember that with other people who come and just recognize that our engagement of time, our gift of time in the church is a gift of faith. So then building on that, it is also true that being involved in the life of the church by serving is a huge step of faith that takes time to do. Formally joining in the membership of a church is a step of faith that takes time. There are a number of ways that we give the gift of faith through the time we spend doing church stuff. There were some people here yesterday for the Children's Christmas Pageant that were rehearsing for that. All the kids, their parents were here. There were people working on the grounds outside, cleaning up leaves that had blown down and branches and all that kind of stuff. There were people who gave significant time to these kinds of things. That's a gift. When we invest our time in the church. And I pray that we are investing the time that we have wisely in the life of the church and in other ways as well as God gives us those opportunities. So our time is a gift. A second way that we give the gift of faith is in our finances. It takes faith to give financially to the church as God calls us to. It takes faith to fill out a pledge card at this time of the year and turn it in for a pledge for 2020. It's one thing to say, I believe that Jesus will take care of me financially. But it is a whole other thing to actually give financially and to do so with generosity. To let God's generosity of how he has given to us be the model for how we give back to him. That takes faith. It takes faith to trust that Jesus will provide for all that you need. When we give to God in our finances, that is putting our belief into action and giving the gift of faith. So when we believe in Jesus, his righteousness is our righteousness. That is how God sees us. How many of you are familiar with the old hymn, The Solid Rock? I think that's the name of it. That's the title I know it by. Only like five hands go up. I know more than you know this. I want you to actually sing the opening line with me. It should be on the screen here. I think, Tim, right? Don't let me sing a solo, please. I want you to stay in the pews, not run for the hills. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where it is. Jesus lived a righteous life that pleases his heavenly Father. When we believe that, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. It becomes our foundation. We sang a song about building our lives on a firm foundation. This is what it's talking about. Today's passage and other passages in Scripture make this evident as well. And when we put that belief into action, we live by faith, which is the gift that we give to God this Christmas and every day. I hope and pray that this Christmas, each of us would give that gift to God. Give the gift of faith in our time, in our finances, in whatever other ways that God gives us the opportunity to give that gift. May we do so this Christmas, in 2020, and beyond. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for seeing us as you see your Son, Jesus. That it's like when you look at us, you actually see him and his righteousness. You don't see all the thoughts and deeds and actions that are unholy and unrighteous. Thank you, God. That in itself, Lord, is a gift. And so we respond in faith. We want to have that faith that Jesus' righteousness is our righteousness. Lord, help us to believe that and to live into it. We want to give you that gift of faith, God. We recognize, Lord, that it's a gift that benefits us. And maybe even, God, we give that gift in kind of a selfish kind of way because we know that. But, Lord, help us to have a right attitude and right motives and simply to give that gift to you, that you want us to give you the gift of faith. So, Lord, we lay that before you. We put that under the Trinity's Christmas tree and give you this gift of faith, God. Lord, we know there are so many ways we can put our belief into action and live by faith. And one of them, Lord, is in our finances. And it's a tough one, God, for us sometimes. We love our money. So, Lord, help us in this offering to give to you with a heart that is pure and right. Help us, Lord, always to give generously, to give with a right heart in our finances. And we pray, God, that you would receive this offering that we're about to give and that you would bless it. They would use it in miraculous ways and ways beyond we could possibly imagine here in the life of our church to make disciples of Jesus in the community around us, in our own ministries and the ministries of others with whom we partner, in the ministries of our missionaries around the world. We pray, God, that this gift would be a blessing to them as well. Most of all, God, we pray that it would bear fruit, that the good news of Jesus Christ would be made known, that others might believe and have faith in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. And all God's children said together, amen.